Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today, and thank you, Pastor Gary, for the opportunity to speak. And those of you who are online this morning, I just pray that the Spirit of God would enter that room wherever you're at, and God would speak to you. God wants to speak to you today. He wants to commune with you. And I hope that you'll tune your ears this morning to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. I have a confession to make. We've been so busy. Pastor Gary asked me a couple weeks ago that would I speak, and I had so many things going on, moving. My wife's mom was extremely ill, and he said I'll get someone else, and I felt like the Lord said, no, you need to stop. And I was busy trying to move. We downsized to a smaller house, and my wife's mom had passed away during this time, and we had to go to South Carolina for a funeral, and that was a very difficult time for us. But I felt like the Lord said, it's time for you to slow down, boy. So I'm saying this to you this morning. It's time for you to slow down, and it's time for you to tune your ear to the voice of God. Many of you have heard him before. Many of you hear him often. But some of you haven't heard him in a while. Well, I had been so busy the last two or three weeks, honestly, everything else had taken priority. Moving, downsizing, packing the van, giving stuff away, trying to downsize, trying to fit things into our little house, trying to get comfortable, running to South Carolina, coming back. And finally, this past week, I told my wife we'd moved into our smaller house and we're comfortable there. And I just said, I'm not hanging a picture, not another picture. I'm going to spend time. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. 2 days, Monday, Tuesday, it was like I couldn't hear anything. That was not God's fault. How many of you know that? But on Wednesday morning, the Lord began to speak. He began to give me a word, and I began to write it down. And it's for you today, and it's for me today. You know, when God gives us a word through Pastor Gary or whoever is speaking, make no mistake about it. It's for that person who's speaking just as well, because we're just instruments. We're just vessels that the Holy Spirit flows through, and we just pray that we hear God right, so that when we give you whatever God is saying, it comes from the throne room through us to you, and you receive it as from the Lord. How many is willing just to receive it from the Lord today? Amen. Amen. I'll speak as often as you'll listen. There's been many times in my life when I really didn't want to hear what God had to say, because I knew he's probably going to tell me something I didn't want to do. And I knew he was going to cost me something. But I have found out this in my few years of serving the Lord, that whatever I have to pay, he gives me back tenfold. Whatever time or cost, or if I feel like I don't have time to spend time, he multiplies my time. And the next thing you know, I get more done than I thought I could do. So that's the way God works. God extends your life. I believe that many of us here are probably in some of the best years of our life, and we don't know it. We're in some of the most productive years of our life, but our body don't tell us that. How many can agree with me on it? Your body's probably telling you, hey, man, you're on the last lap. You're probably finished, but I'm here to tell you this morning that that's not the case. The devil wants you to believe that, so you'll sit down, be quiet, hush up, and turn your hearing aids off so you don't hear what God has to say. But God wants to speak to us today. He wants to use this generation to make a shift for his church and for this nation. And I believe this generation is the generation that'll set the stage for the shift. Amen? Glory be to God. Now I'm about to feel something up here. Hallelujah. Went to prayer this morning. They prayed. They said, I hope you enjoy what you do. Don't do the Martha Mary thing. Just enjoy this. Amen. I don't get to speak often. So when I do, I want to tell you everything I know in the next 10 minutes. So just pray the Lord will help me. But then last night, as I was praying, and I did some studying last night again and studied all week, I went to bed and I was praying, God, give me words. I saw something last night. It was like a racetrack for horses. And it was like God was pulling me into the stall for the horse. And I was a racehorse. Amen. And I feel like when the Lord swings the gates open, all I had to do was take off. Amen. And God would give me the words to say, and then I was going to run fast. Amen. Now I can't run so fast anymore, but glory to God. God's going to give us words to say this morning, and we're going to be moving at a fast pace, and you're going to come with me. I'm not going to run this by myself. I might be on this racetrack running. I don't want to move too far, too fast. God knows I better not run too much. But I'm going to be running, and as the Lord opens this gate and I take off, I'm taking off, and I know where I'm going because the Lord's already told me where I'm going. I'm going to hear the voice of God. I'm going to take you with me if you'll go, and I'm going to tell you how God speaks. We're going to hear it. We're going to give our ideas. Many of you already know it. Many of you could preach this sermon that I'm about to preach, but we're going to run together. And as I take off this morning and I start running, I might be by myself when I start with, but some of you is going to come out and run with me. And I'm going to run up and bump you. I might get out of my track. I might get out of my lane, but the Lord has already told me that the whole track is mine. So just run anywhere you want to run. So look out if I bump you. Come and go with me this morning. Let's hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and let's take it, and let's go, and let's run with it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Boldest prayer you could ever pray is in 1 Samuel 3 and 9, if you want to put that up for me. It's the boldest prayer you could ever pray. I don't know if you have the courage this morning to pray that prayer. I prayed it before, many times. I prayed it this week. And it says this, so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, you may not be a servant of the Lord in here this morning, but I pray before you leave today, you'll be able to pray that prayer with those of us who can. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now say that with me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. Amen. Does God still speak to his people? Does God still speak? Yes, he does. God can speak to us any way he chooses. He speaks through all kinds of avenues. He speaks through divine impressions. You know, God released the Holy Spirit to us, and he lives within us, and he speaks through an internal voice. But we're going to talk today about the ways that God can speak to us so that we can begin to identify. I'm going to say this. God is speaking to you many, many times, and you don't recognize it. Maybe you're not aware that God is using this particular way that he speaks to you, but he speaks to you. He speaks to me. He wants to commune with us. In Job 37, 2 through 13, I'm not going to read all this for time's sake, but you'll see in the scriptures, if you have them, if you can put them up, Job 37, 2 through 13. God's voice sounds like thunder. You can read those scriptures when you get home if we don't have them. It's like the voice of many waters. In other words, we know God's got a loud voice, don't we? We know if he wants to get our attention, he can get our attention. If he wants to get our president's attention, listen, he can get his attention. Amen? We serve a living God. We serve a God who has a voice that can rock this world if he chooses to rock it. You talk about a nuclear explosion. You let the voice of God, like the voice of many waters, or the thundering voice of God come down, and we're going to know God has just spoke. Because God can get our attention. God can speak. In Acts, his voice was like the sound of a rushing mighty wind. God's voice. In 1 Kings 19, 11 and 13, in the Amplified Version, if you can get that up for me. There we go. Thank God. 1 Kings, it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. Uh-oh. Okay, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. But verse 13 says, if you have that, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood on the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I don't know if we've got our scriptures out of sequence there or not, but anyway, what he heard was a still, small voice. And he recognized when he heard that still, small voice that God was in it, and God began to speak to him. So I'm here today to challenge you that God is normally, when he speaks to us, he speaks to us in a whisper. Why? Why does God normally whisper? He doesn't normally shout to me. He normally speaks to me in a whisper, in a soft voice. They tell me that a whisper is just takes breath. When you whisper, you don't even have to use your vocal cords. You just kind of breathe it out. When you want to get close to your child, you say, come here, I got something to tell you. And you begin to whisper. Why does God do that? It's because God wants us to draw close to him. God loves us so much that he wants us to get near him so he can whisper, so he can breath, so he can breathe and give us his instructions. He wants us to whisper to us. I want to hear God when he whispers to me. How about you? They tell me sound is an amazing thing. That at 110 decibels, now we run sound. I've been learning sound with Brian. Thank God for Brian and Jenny. But Brian is just so smart. He's learned this sound system, and I just kind of follow behind him, do the best I can to try to help him. But sound, we try to keep it in a decibel level, so that you enjoy it and it doesn't hurt your ears, and so that it's loud enough. We try to keep a mix between the music, the vocals, so that it sounds beautiful. But sound at 110 decibels can change your blood pressure. Sound at 145 decibels can cause your vision to blur. Sound at 195 decibels, your eardrums are in danger of rupturing. Some of our poor young people who go down the road with this boom, I feel sorry for them. 202 decibels, even death can happen from hearing sound at that loud. But it only takes 15 decibels to hear a whisper from God. So that's saying God wants to get close. He wants to whisper to you and me. It's an intimate thing. It's a personal thing. It's a private thing. When God begins to whisper to you, God begins to speak to you. And when he does, you need to capture that. You need to capture it. Why does God speak in a whisper? Why? The breath of God. He wants us close. He wants us close. I'm going to talk to you this morning. I could give you examples after examples after example how God has spoke to us. Even me. God used to speak to my wife a lot years ago. I used to marvel how God would speak to her. She'd write it down. God give her songs. I knew it was the Lord. But he didn't speak to me that often. If he did, I didn't recognize it. And I wasn't jealous of that, but I always thought, well, maybe he loves the women more than he does the men. I don't know. That's not true. But God wants to speak to you. But many times down through the years, especially in the last 22-year journey, God has spoken things to my heart. And I could tell you those times, I could tell you those places, and I could share those testimonies with you, and it would encourage you today. But God has spoke to you too. And God is speaking to you. And God wants to speak to you. Seven ways God speaks. Number one is Scripture. God uses His Word. His Word is living. It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's timeless. There's no bottom to it. I don't care how many years you've been in this. Some of you have been in this way a long time. When you open the Word of God, sometimes you see something afresh and anew that you never saw before. Why is that? Because it's alive. It's new. It's revelation. It's God giving you a revelation to His Word. So God wants you to seek Him first. And when we seek Him first, He'll give us His Word. He'll unfold it to us. The Word gives us checks and balances to weigh out what we hear. In Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, if you can get that up this morning, out of the Message Bible, it said God means what He says, and what He says goes. His powerful Word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. I like that. Cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one can resist God's Word. We can't get away from it no matter what. No matter what. His Word, that's how powerful it is. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. All Scripture is God-breathed. Whisper. God-breathed. It's the breath of God, and it is useful for teaching, rebuke, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Word of God. The Scripture gives us guidelines. Somebody says that this, made this statement that basically using the Scripture saying, well, God speaks to you sometimes and the Scripture will confirm what God's saying. But let's don't handcuff the God of the Scripture to the Scripture. Now, what do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit is alive and well. When Jesus Christ died and went to the cross, He made a way for every single one of us. You don't have to be a pastor to hear the voice of God. All you have to do is be a born-again believer. And God even speaks to those who are not believers. A born-again believer, you can go into the Holy of Holies and you can hear what God has to say. So the Spirit of God will speak to you. The Word of God will confirm it. If you get a word that's way off base, go to the Scripture to make sure what you're hearing is from the Lord. And it will confirm it. It will confirm it. So God speaks through His Word. There's not enough I could say to you about the Word. The Bible is the final authority for the believer. It is the inspired Word of God. In our culture, tolerance is elevated above truth. How many knows that to be true? But grace means this. It means I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what. But truth says this, I'll be honest with you no matter what. God wants us to be truthful people. He wants us to be full of grace and love, but He wants us to be truthful. And He wants us to tell Him what the Bible says. Somebody said the Bible, not only do we read it, but it reads us. It does. And many times I've opened the Word up and I said, oh my Lord, it just read my mail. It read me. I thought I was reading it. It read me. Because it's living. Because it's active. Because it's alive. It's God-breathed. It's inspired. The Holy Spirit of God exhaled. That's what the Word of God is. It's the Holy Spirit of God exhaled. When you read the history of the Bible, how it was written, how many authors wrote it over so many years of time, 40 written different authors over 15 centuries in three languages on three continents, yet it's the inspired Word of God. Our author is the Spirit of God. So God speaks to us through His Word. That's the first and foremost, is the Scripture. God will use the Scripture to speak to you. An example, I was reading doing my devotions a month or two ago, I opened up to John, and I was reading about John the Baptist. And I pulled one scripture up, and I read it. This is how God speaks to me. Now, he may speak to you different. And I read the scripture, and Pharisees were asking John the Baptist, "Who are you?" And John the Baptist didn't answer them. And then they said, "Who do you say you are?" And the Lord just stopped me right there. And he kind of put a highlighter over that. "Who do you say you are?" And then I stopped there for a while because the Lord was speaking to me in that. It's unfolding even now as God has unfolded that. There's a message coming about John the Baptist somewhere down the road. I just got this brief point of it. That was for me, but I believe it's going to be a message that God gives me about John the Baptist, about his life, and about God speaking to him. So it was a highlighter in my mind, and I had to stop. It was like, pause here. So sometimes God speaks to you through his word that way. It's like, uh-oh, that word just got highlighted. I recognize it. The Holy Spirit highlighted it. Now it's time for me to stop. Pause and take note. Take heed. The Holy Spirit wants to say something to me through this word. So I stopped, and after I looked at that, "Who do you say you are?" I flipped the page, and he answered, "A voice. I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness." You know, just think about that. If God mightily used you like he did John the Baptist, and he had such boldness, and then they asked him who he was, "Are you a prophet? Are you this?" And he wouldn't even answer them. Who do you say you are? Just a voice. I believe God like that, don't you? I'm just a voice, God. That's all I am up here this morning. Just a voice. Just a voice calling out what I think God is saying, what I believe the Holy Spirit has said to me this morning. The second way God speaks to us is this, in our desires. Somebody said, "No, not that." Listen, you have desires that God has given you that come from him. Now, some of them we need to crucify, amen? That is not good. Some lustful, sinful desires, you have to call them in check. But desires, God puts desires in your heart. And the scripture proves it. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself," if you can get it up there, "delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you," say give you, "the desires of your heart." There's another scripture that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, I was able to fortunately give my life to the Lord at a young age, and the only regret I have is I didn't have two lives to give him, because he's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. He has blessed me so much that I only wish I could have done more. I only wish I could have done more. So we do need to crucify our sinful desires. But God delights in his creation. You know, one of the first things God said when he created the earth in Genesis, God began to look back at it, and he said, "Oh, it's good. It's good." So that's one of the first emotions that God showed, that it was good. So God wants us to look at the things that he's put in us and be able to recognize that God desires, and he speaks to us through those desires. He wants us to follow our heart. Even one scripture says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Teach him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. And even when he's old, he won't depart from it." Some translation says, "Train up a child in the way he's bent." So for us as parents, we have to look at our children and try to figure out, you know, what did God make them good at? Amen? Did God gift them in reading? Did he gift them in the arts? Did he gift them in mathematics? What are they good at? What are they gifted at? And try to help direct that child in that direction. So God speaks to us through our desires. And they're God-given desires. If God puts it in your heart to sing, God puts it in your heart to preach, God puts it in your heart to teach, to train others, that's a God-given desire. And you will not be happy, listen to me, until you get into that place that God's called you. Many times we spend our whole life trying to figure out what God wants us to do when we grow up. Amen? But when we realize the desire God's put in our heart and we run in that direction, in the direction of our strengths, we're going to find the peace of God, the perfect peace of God. The strength of God is in that because He's already called us. He's already gifted us in those areas. Amen? Talent versus passion. There was a study of over 450 musical students that went to this elite music school. And that means they all had to know how to play. Amen? Or they wouldn't have been there. And out of the 450, the passion trumped the talent over time. So God puts those desires. He puts passion in your heart for certain things. And when He does put that passion in your heart, if you'll just pursue that passion, you'll find out God is speaking to you, and it will trump talent. Now, I've seen talented people. There's talented preachers. Speak a lot better than I can. But passion will trump talent over time. Amen? So maybe you might say, I don't have any talent. But if you got passion, God will take that passion, and He'll use it for His glory. So you let God use your passion. Amen? Number three is doors. So we got plenty of time this morning. God uses doors to speak to us. Many, many other things God uses. These are just a few. Revelation 3:8. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door. Say open door. Open door that no one can shut. Oh, glory to God. You might say, every church I go to, every pastor I get involved with, every place I go, they just shut the door on me. I want to tell you something. When God opens the door, nobody can shut it. Amen. There's a scripture that says your gifts will make room for you. And if God has put a passion and a gift in you, you just be patient. Because God will open a door that no man can shut. Amen? God will open that door. So just know that. Open doors. Doors set before you. The concept of open doors is found over 400 times in the Scripture. So it must be important. Open doors. Open doors. God opened the door for me to speak to you today. Pastor Gary asked me. Open doors. I used to say no all the time. I quit saying that. Some of you need to quit saying no. You need to start saying yes. I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. And something else we need to do. We need to say this. I need some help. Many of us say yes, we'll do it, but we won't ask for help. I did the same thing the other day when I was moving 2 or 3 weeks ago. I hate to ask for help because people come to help me, they go see how disorganized I am. I don't really know what I want to give away and what I want to keep. So what am I telling them to move? I had to figure that out. Most of it I did by myself. I should have asked for help. Caused me some serious back pain for a couple weeks. Ask for help, amen? Ask for help. Set before you open doors. What are open doors? They're choices. They're decisions that you have. Those are open doors. I read this one. Opportunity only lasts for the lifetime of the opportunity. There's a timing in when God opens that door when you need to say yes. And that timing is critical. That timing is crucial. You need to step in. And you need to move when God says move. Also, God speaks through closed doors. Now, I don't like this. When God closes the door, He's closed doors in my life. He closed the door when I was pastoring. I had my fingers caught in the door jamb, and I must have cried for 3 years. You know, that's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame when God closes a door for us to sit back and blame it on ourselves. And that's what I did. Oh, me, oh, my, what did I do wrong, you know? I blamed myself, and I had my fingers caught in the door. The devil kept my fingers in that door jam. I wasn't much good to anybody else because my fingers were still hurting. I had it caught in the door jam of a closed door that God allowed it to close. And you say, how do you know God allowed it to close? God spoke to me one day, and I was feeling all down in the dumps. I still had my fingers in the door jam, still hurting because that door had closed. And God said to me, son, don't you know if I'd have wanted that church to live, it's nothing you could have done to kill it. Put yourself in the right perspective. Get your fingers out of the door jam. When the door closes, let it go. Amen. God has closed doors for you guys working in other ministries before. God has closed those doors. Maybe somebody did do something. But God closed doors. And your fingers are in a door jam. And you're saying, I don't want to do anything else. Because somebody might shut the door on my fingers again. The quicker you let go, and the quicker you move on to the next thing God has before you, the more joy is going to come in your life. Amen? The devil don't want his body to be full of joy. He don't want us to be full of desire. He don't want us to be full of compassion. He don't want us to be focused on others. He wants us to focus on our own self. And when we begin to focus on other people, God will use us in a great and a mighty way. Amen to God. That's a truth anyhow. Glory to God. That's good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Close doors. Why does he close them? He closes them to protect us. He closes them sometimes to redirect us. Amen. God directed me to Grace Tabernacle. I know it as sure as I'm sitting here. First Sunday, I heard these new people who came up and said that they felt the grace of God when they came in here. And they knew it was the place. Amen. First Sunday, we came to Grace to worship almost 9 years ago. I felt a home. I felt like I was a home. It was like, oh my goodness, I can worship God here. I can worship him. They kept the lights down low, and I thought, I can worship him in the dark. Nobody knows my fingers are still in the door jam. But I still love to worship God. But finally, I got my fingers out of the door jam. And I went to Pastor Gary and basically said, here I am. Oh, gosh, just use me. Anyway, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm in the sound booth. That's fine. I love it up there with Brian. It doesn't matter if I get to preach or I get to stand at the back door. It's fine with me. I just want to be where God wants me to be. Pastor Gary's been talking about a generalist. Amen. I can do whatever you want me to do, Pastor. It doesn't matter. Just plug me in. Amen. Plug and play. Just plug me in anywhere. And wherever you plug me in, I'll sing my song to the best of my ability. And you know what? That's good enough. That's good enough. I can't try to be somebody else. I have to just be myself, just like you. And it's good enough. Just know that God has made you good enough, amen. And that you let him play you wherever he wants to play you. He'll redirect us, and he'll send us to his perfect will. When was the last time that you thanked God for a closed door? Think about it. Oh, thank you, God, for open doors. Oh, I love open doors. What about the closed door? I'm so grateful God closed the door of my pastoring. That was a hard job. God closed the door. Some dumb things I did helped hasten that closing, but God closed the door. I got my fingers out of the door jam, and now I started living my life and enjoying life and just being joyful in it, in the life that God had given me. But closed doors, we must discern doors. You have to pray for a spirit of discernment to discern the doors that God opens and God closes for you. Discernment is the ability to appraise a situation with supernatural insight. I need to say that again. Discernment, God-given discernment, is the ability to appraise that situation with God-given insight, not the logic of man. The logic of man will lead you wrong. But God-given insight is supernatural. God will speak a revelation to you. God will touch you just like he did me when he said, don't you think that church would have lived if I'd have wanted to leave? You could not have killed it. But why do I say that? I've seen ministers fall flat in our life and do terrible things, and their ministry still flourished later. God chose to bless them regardless of what they did. Number fourth way God speaks, winding it up here. Hey, we might get out early today. Fourth way God speaks, dreams. Somebody said to me the other week, are we going to be in here at 12:30 today? I don't know. It was good last week, amen? So, dreams. God speaks through dreams. The Bible says young men will see visions, old men will dream what?
Dreams.
Ladies, that doesn't say you, but that's you too, amen? Dreams and visions, God speaks to us through them. A vision can be, in Acts 2:17 is a scripture, young men shall see visions, and old men shall see dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Glory to God. God's going to pour his spirit out. He wants to pour his spirit out on Grace Tabernacle. He wants to pour his spirit out on you in this season, in this time. And when he does, you're going to begin to prophesy. You're going to be able to see things that you hadn't seen before. My wife began to sing that song, anointings will overtake you, miracles will overwhelm you when you commune with me. God's got more to say to me than what I've heard. He's got more to say to you than what you've heard. He's unending. Glory to God. It's unending what God's going to do. Yes, we're getting older, but you can't prove it by my spirit. All I can tell you is my spirit feels stronger than it's ever felt. And I feel like that horse race, that race and that gate. You open that gate and I'm ready to run. Because I know what God's done. Amen. I know the doors he's opened for me. I know he's made a way where there wasn't a way. I know he's empowered me when I couldn't do it on my own. God has made a way. How many has ever seen the Disney movie called The Secretarian? It's about a horse. I love that movie, but it talks about a horse who ran and won all kinds of derbies. And they said when that horse finally died, they did an autopsy, that the heart of the horse was way larger than any normal heart. I believe God wants to put a heart in us, a racehorse heart, amen? That our heart is just so enlarged by the Spirit of God that we can do things that seem impossible to man. He wants to empower us today, to whisper to us, to show us dreams and visions. A vision can be a mental picture. It can be a plan for your future. Visions and dreams. God wants to speak through visions and dreams. The Bible says where there's no vision, what? The people perish. God wants to give us a vision. Even in our season that we're in now, there's a vision. Amen? There's still hope. There's a vision. And God wants to give us that vision. God speaks to us. A vision is like this. What do you see? What can you see? God wants to show you some things. What can you see? Allow the Holy Spirit to be your binoculars and begin to focus on what God's trying to show you and let him show you the vision that he wants you to see. Visions. Dreams. Dreams are thoughts and pictures in the mind, usually during sleep. Don't daydream when I'm preaching. Dreams. At night, God gives us dreams. Don't discount it. Don't just say it's a dream. You know the difference between a pizza dream and a God dream, right? When God begins to speak to you and you wake up and you know God's given you a dream, you know it. If you're born again in the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God lives within you, you know God has said something to you. You know he's spoken to you in a dream. And when he does, don't you discount that. Many ministries have been birthed on account of a dream. Just a dream, God. Just a dream that I do that. My dream, I'll share this with you quick. This example. Some personal stories, okay? This is only to help you today. Understand how God speaks to you. It's the way he speaks to me. He may speak to you different. I had a dream one night, and I woke up, and I dreamed my older pastor's wife, Pastor Ron and Barbara McCants. Pastor Barbara got up behind the pulpit, and she was giving a testimony on the faithfulness of God, how God had been so faithful in her life, how God had taken her higher than she ever thought she would go, how she had done more for the Lord than she ever thought she would ever be able to do. She was just a godly woman, a beautiful woman, and her husband as well. Loved him very much. But she gave that testimony about the dream. Well, I was in my mind when I woke up, I could see her testifying on the goodness of God, how God had taken her higher. And as soon as I woke up, I heard the Spirit of the Lord says, I'm taking you higher. I'm taking you higher. That's all I heard. It's, I'm taking you higher. So I get up and I go towards the bathroom and I see the clock. You know, we got one of these little digital clocks. But the clock, the numbers on the clock were 3:22 a.m. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. It was not just a normal clock. It was highlighted again. 3:22. I said, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? I go to my office. I grab my Bible. I opened up the scripture. God said, go to Revelations 3:22. That's what it said. If you can get it up for me. Whoever has ears, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. That's what God said to me. And I can't even begin to go into elaborate all the other things God shared with me between that 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning hour. But I realized God had spoke. I realized he was saying something. And I realized I need to draw away so I could see what he was saying. He began to unfold that. And he gave me a brand new message called Hinds Feet. He said, I want my people to go higher. I want them to be like the hinds feet. They can go up in places. I've seen pictures of hinds climbing rocks. It looked like it was straight up. But they were able to climb. They were able to navigate those high places. And God wants his people, God wants his church to be able to navigate some higher places. Say this with me, higher ground. And say this with me, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Oh, be careful. Be careful. All I can say is be careful. Hallelujah. The fifth way God speaks, people. Somebody said, I could have done without that. I've heard people say, I love to pastor a church, but I can't stand the people. Get out of the pulpit. You're finished. You're done. It's over. God loves people, and if you can't love them, it's time to go. Amen. We have preachers in the pulpit. Not ours, thank God. But we got preachers in the pulpit across this nation. The only reason they're there is for a paycheck. Let me tell you something. It's time for you to go. And I'm giving you a warning from the Spirit of God. You need to get out of the pulpit. If you don't love God's people, if you can't allow God to love his people through you, it's time for you to go find another career. And God will help you to do that. Just trust him. We don't have time for people to be in a way. This thing is winding down. Amen. God's getting his people ready. God's getting his nation ready. God's getting his church ready. I believe the Lord's coming back. I don't know when. I thought he was coming back when I was 18. Now I'm 67. Oh my goodness. Time with the Lord doesn't make any difference. So I don't know when he's coming back. But when he does, that'll be fine. It'll be fine. Amen. But people. There's a scripture in Hebrews 12:13 says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. The first thing the enemy will use to discourage you and your walk with life is people. And the first thing God will use to encourage you and your walk with life is, you got it right, people. So we have to discern the voices. We have to discern the people God is using to encourage us. I'm telling you something. The people of God is going to cause you to want, they're going to rub off on you. They're going to make you want to get closer to God. The people who's against you are going to make you want to draw back and say, I don't know about all this. You know, I believe I'd be better to go off on the backside of the desert and just stay by myself. But God loves relationships. That's why he wants to whisper to us. And he loves for us to have relationships with each other. Believe it or not, when we get to glory, the only U-Haul that's going with you is the relationships that you know and you're taking with you to glory. You may say, that's not true. Yes, it is. The Word of God says we will know as we're known. So we're going to know people when we get to glory. And my old bed or my old couch or my refrigerator, it's not going, amen? Or even my savings account, it's not going. But the relationships that I build here on earth, I'll tell you, our relationships are so important. Why do you think the devil attacks them so much? Whether you're married today, the enemy tries to attack your home with division in your relationships. He tries to attack you between your children, divisions in your relationships, division in leadership. God help us to stay unified, because I'm telling you, how can two walk together except they agree? They can't. You've got to agree. Either you've got to agree to disagree, or you're going to separate, amen? And we're stronger together than we are apart. The devil knows that. Glory to God. The devil knows it. That's why he tries to divide relationships. That's why he tries to separate relationships. That's why he tells you, Pastor don't care about me. He didn't even bother to shake my hand Sunday morning. How many of you know he probably had 15 other things on his mind? He didn't mean to avoid you. Grow up, amen. Get thicker skin. Let God make us strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Strong in the Lord. I want to be strong. I might be getting older, my goodness, but I'm strong. Amen. Say this with me. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah to God. That's your confession this morning. Let us run this race, the Bible says, with perseverance, the race marked out before us. There's a scripture at Living Waters. It's a place Michelle and I go up in the mountains, and we work with the children's ministry there through the summers. And there's a rock that's by the river, and on that rock is inscribed something that touches my heart. And it's a scripture, and I can't find the address on it, but it said, may those who come behind us find us faithful. Folks, we got people coming behind us if the Lord tarries. May those who come behind us find us faithful. God wants us to be faithful to him, faithful to his call, faithful to his voice, so that those who come behind us, there's been a path laid before them. And that's my prayer this morning, is may they find us faithful. We need to build future plans. You know, somebody says, well, the Lord's coming. I know. He is. He might come tomorrow. We need to live like he's coming tomorrow, but we need to plan like we're going to be here 100 more years. Because if you don't, you'll sit down on the seat of do nothing, and you'll do nothing. And you'll just say, okay, the Lord's coming. I've done my part. I don't have any more to do. Get up. Just get up. Amen. You do have more to do. You do have more to give. You do have more to say. And you have more influence than you know. How many people in your life, I mean, just think about it. Most of us are a little bit older. We've got a lot of influence. You might not think so, but you do. I got children and grandchildren, and I have grandchildren's friends. My wife's mom just died at 101 and almost a third. Can you imagine the influence? She had 4 children, 12 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and 12 great-great-grandchildren. She had 51 family members at her funeral, and she was a mighty woman of God, full of the Holy Spirit of God, until the day she died. Don't tell me she didn't leave influence. Don't tell me she didn't leave a wake behind her. Glory to God, of the Spirit-led life, a person who loved the Lord with all of her heart. My wife and I weren't able to be there at her bedside the night she passed away, and my wife sometimes feels grievous about that. But you know, the guy who went and picked up her body said she had a smile on her face. Don't tell me somebody wasn't in the room. The angels of the Lord, I believe, exited her right out of this world. And I'm believing that for all of us. There's a bridge you're going to cross one day in life, just like I'm going to cross it, and nobody can go with us. I'm going to cross it alone. Tony Defoe, we loved him dearly. He went to be with the Lord yesterday. Sudden and sad for us. But oh my God, what a glorious day for him. A glorious day. We prayed for his wife, Joni, and I could see this as we prayed. Another thing, the way God speaks and the way he's showing us things, is he's showing us mental pictures as we pray. I began to pray for Joni. I took the liberty. Bob and was with us, and we were praying together for her, and I was able to pray. And And I could see the Lord bubble wrapping Joni. Just like, you know, the clear plastic bubble wrap. And he was bubble wrapping her. And it, you know, in my mind, it was this thick. And she was bumping into some things as her time goes on. She was bumping into some sharp corners every once in a while in her house. But because the Holy Spirit had bubble wrapped her with the peace of God, and that's what we prayed, God just bubble wrap her in the peace of God. That passes all understanding. I don't believe she's going to feel it the way she would feel it without that peace of God that's bubble wrapped her. So in my mind, I could see a bubble wrap, and you know, it may sound crazy to you, but that's what I could see that God was doing in her life. And you know what? When God begins to show you things, don't be afraid to say it. Now, I can't find bubble wrap in the Scripture. You see what I'm talking about? I can't find bubble wrap in the Scripture, but I believe the Lord showed me that for her. But it had to do with His peace, that He was going to surround her with an inner layer and with an outer layer of His peace, the peace of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Only when you walk through those places of the shadow of death, when you know that the peace of God is so real, you have to walk through it to know it. But when you've been there, you know it. And you can't explain it, but it's real. God brings people into our life. He brings people into our life to humble us. He brings people into our life to draw out the best in us. People can bless us, amen? And people can sure bring chaos in your life. So be careful. Somebody said, my time is my chips. I only have so many, so be careful where I spend them. So be careful who you spend your time with. Make sure that you're led by the Lord on that. Behind great people, there's always somebody else. Behind Moses, there was Aaron. Behind Elisha, Elijah. Behind Paul, there was Timothy. And behind Esther, there was Mordecai. You know what? I don't mind if God says behind Pastor Gary was Anthony and maybe Paula and maybe my wife Michelle, maybe Bob, maybe some of you. I don't mind a bit. Amen? I'll be the second man, third man. It doesn't matter, God. Let's just get the job done. Amen? While I'm here on this earth, let's be useful for God. Let's let God use us and not be concerned about who is the first man or the second man. I just want to be behind great people going in the right direction. And I'm telling you this, if they're not going in the right direction, I'm not following them long. I don't have time to waste. You don't have time to waste. We got to go in the right direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be a mentor to somebody else. Pastor's been teaching us about discipleship. Find somebody you can pour something into. Amen. I try to pour into my grandchildren. I try to pour into anybody I can get close to. I feel like the Holy Spirit's prompting me to pour into them. There are times when I preach my best messages are preached one-on-one. My best testimonies that I share with people is one-on-one. In the secret place, in the quiet place, and nobody else knows about it. That's the best times that I feel like the Lord uses us. So let God use you. Let Him use you to be a mentor. Let Him use you to speak into somebody else's life. I love people. Can you say that with me today? Do you love people? I love people. God loves people. God loves me. Even when I don't deserve to be loved, He loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. Sixth way God speaks is promptings. Just prompted by the Holy Spirit to do what I did. Or prompted by the Holy Spirit to ask the question. Are prompted by the Holy Spirit to put my hand on the shoulder of the person in front of me as we quietly prayed. You do not know what the Holy Spirit is doing when you obey the Lord and you just follow His promptings. Be prompted by the Lord. Be quick to listen. Be quick to obey. What do you have to lose? Amen. What do you have to lose? Just let Him prompt you. Let Him lead you. I remember the Lord, a personal story, how the Lord prompted me to ask a woman a question which changed the whole trajectory of our life. And that question was this. I was speaking to this woman on the phone, and we were in South Carolina being called to Florida, and we had an assisted living facility that needed to be sold. I called this woman up on the phone, and the Holy Spirit, for a different reason. And the Holy Spirit prompted me, ask her if she ever had it in her heart to own and operate her own assisted living facility. Just ask her. That was a prompting of the Lord. And I asked her. I said, has God ever put it in your heart to have your own assisted living? Yes, he has. I said, well, you need to come see me because God's called me to Florida and we got one we need to sell. That was it. That was the divine connection. That was the prompting. That was the very beginning, the start of God answering a prayer. God, don't let us leave this facility empty because we're going. We're going where you called us to go. You know, when you go by faith, sometimes you got things hanging out here that hadn't been taken care of yet. But you have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to put your foot in the water. We were going. It was done. It was a done deal. Now, that's a Southern boy's way of saying this. We got it together. Amen? We were headed. We were completely in our mind. We were going. But there was a lot back here that hadn't been taken care of yet. And that was one of those things. And one of my prayers was, God, don't let me leave this place vacant. If you let me leave it vacant, it's going to be vandalized. The day we were packing a U-Haul, moving out of one side, she was moving in the other side the very same day. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. God answers prayer. God prompts people. God will prompt you if you're prompted by the Spirit of God. In Esther 4:14, if you can get that up, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art cometh to the kingdom for such a time as this. So when God prompts you, when God speaks to you, you might be like Esther. You're here for such a time as this. Amen. You may say, well, I got these desires, such a time as this. I got this training under my belt for such a time as this. Pastor Gary's been prophesied too that in these days of this church, it's going to be a plug and play type situation. God's going to bring people in who are ready to go, amen? And he's done that. I've seen it. They're trained. They're equipped. They're ready to teach. They're ready to preach. They're ready to mentor. They're ready to father. And they're ready to mother other people. And all he's got to do is recognize it and open the door and utilize them, amen? We need to pray for him, that God will continue to give him wisdom to see what God is bringing him. Because a lot of times we don't see it. A lot of times we're not aware of it. God, you brought me this. I didn't recognize it. Everything needs to be utilized for the glory of God. All of us are important to God. All of us. Every single one of us. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom. The pastor can't get any closer to God than you can. That was a big alarm. I know that. That's news for some of you. God opens the door wide for us to come in and spend time with him, to hear his voice. And I tell you, God can speak to you if you spend time with him, just like he can speak to me, just like he can speak to Paula, just like he can speak to Michelle, just like he can speak to any of these other worship team members. God can speak and will speak and is speaking to you. Amen. Right place, right time, right people. Glory to God. That's all we need. Be in the right place, the right time. I'm just about through. It's never too late. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. The last thing that God uses to speak to us, Michelle, if you come back to the keyboard. And this is one that I wanted to leave out. Sometimes God uses pain to get our attention. In an exercise world, they say no pain, no what? No gain. I don't like pain. Women, you can tolerate a lot more pain than most of us guys can. We might be big and strong and tough, but none of us are going to volunteer to have a baby. No way, no how. Amen. Pain. Unfortunately, we have to deal with it. Life, our life that we live, is not a pain-free zone. Just because you come to know the Lord or you're serving the Lord and you step into that way, you put your hand in his hand, that doesn't mean you're not going to experience pain and disappointment in life. But the greatest thing about it is God is always with you. He's with you in the pain. God understands pain. God the Father understands pain. One of the things that touched me so much about the movie, The Passion, was when Jesus Christ died on the cross. How many saw that movie? Oh, man, it's gruesome. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, when basically he said, Father, it's finished, there was a tear that fell from heaven. And I can just imagine the Father's heart. It was a great victory, but it was still a great loss. His Son had sacrificed his life to pay the price so that you and I, you and me, can go into that place. We don't have to wait on Pastor Gary to go there. I'm so grateful we got a praying pastor. I pray for him, but he has to pray for himself too. You know that. But I'm so grateful they pray. I'm so grateful they have a relationship with the Lord. But God wants you. He wants me. He wants all of us to have such a close relationship with God that we know his voice. The scripture says, my sheep know my voice. We know when he speaks. We know how he speaks. We know that he's speaking. And we need to stop. We need to pause. And we need to listen and say, oh Lord, here am I. Send me. Oh Lord, speak. Speak, Lord. Your servant. I'm your servant, Lord. I'm listening. Say whatever you want to say. Amen. Stand up on your feet with me. God will never waste your pain. We go through pain sometimes so that God can teach us to help somebody else. Joseph went through 13 years of suffering before he had enough empathy to do what God had called him to do with his family. 13 years. The good news is this. Heaven is a pain-free zone. It's a pain-free zone. Glory to God. He says he'll wipe away all suffering, all tears, no more tears when we get there. Pain-free. One day I believe we're going to see the value of our pain. Pain does have value. It'll show you things nothing else will. God will speak to you in your pain if you're listening. He'll take you higher. Sometimes it takes painful places for God to take us higher. I've heard many, many people say, you know what? I don't thank God for my cancer. But I tell you what, when God delivered me from cancer, I can't tell you how close I got to God because of it. Because sometimes God speaks through those things in ways that we cannot understand. God doesn't bring them, no. We live in a fallen world and it comes from that. Comes from the sin. But God will use those things to speak to you through pain. Maybe some of you have been through a loss or divorce, or maybe you've lost a child or you've lost a loved one and you've been painful, extreme pain because of it. But God will speak to you through that pain. God will deposit in you golden truths that he can use in your life if you'll just allow him. Allow him. So say this with me one more time. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, if everybody just bow their heads and close your eyes in the house. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that you gave it to me and you helped me, Lord, to say it to the best of my ability. And I thank you that your word will not return to you void, that it will accomplish all that it's set out to be. And Father, I just declare and decree that this body this morning has been set afire, set ablaze, and that their ears are tuned like they've never been attuned before to hear what you have to say to them. So, Lord, we just say, speak. Speak to us in Grace Tabernacle. Speak to us through dreams and visions. Speak to us through songs. Speak to us through desires. Speak to us through promptings. Speak to us through our pain. Whatever way you want to choose to speak, through your word, through the scriptures, speak to us, God, and draw us closer to you than we've ever been before. And we ask you this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you agree with that prayer, just say amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you today.